She says, and I want to meet you there. He showed me where the Melly's editor was, you know. And I came there, and he introduced me to the editor of that paper. His name was Gleick. And of course...
Well, the name of the paper?
Forsyth.
Yes, the friend of the people.
The people, yeah. And the editor was an educated man, you know. He was a well-learned man in Talmud, if you know what that is.
Sure.
Well, anyway, he started to talk to me about Talmud, and of course, being fresh out of the yeshiva, by everything was just, he just fitted in, and he took a liking to me. So he says, I'll tell you, he says, the best job for you would be is to get a job to work in a store and teach the boss's children Hebrew.
Hmm.
He says, that's the way, he said, you'll learn the trade.
Yeah.
You earn a living that way. That way they can, that's the only way, in other words, in the smaller towns around, like Bridgeville, for instance,
yes,
the town.
Where there is no Hebrew school.
No Hebrew school. There was few Hebrew schools in the smaller towns in Pittsburgh, around Pittsburgh altogether. He says, why, work in a store, he says, and that way they can pay you enough, you make a living, and then you learn a trade. He says, and, this Mr. Gleick, he says, they often advertise in my paper looking for a boy, he says, of that type. And the next time somebody comes, brings an advertisement like that for me, he says, I'll hold it for you.
Good, yeah.
That was very nice. Believe it or not, the same, that was like on a Monday. And he says, you stop in here often. I want to see you. I want to talk to you anyway. And I stopped in one evening, like on a Thursday evening, he says, believe it or not, he says, my nephew in a town here in Bridgeville, he says, he told me to put an ad in the paper. He's looking for a boy, exactly, he says, of your caliber. And I'm not going to put the ad in the paper, he says, but I want you to go out and see him. And he gave me a ticket. That time the ticket to Bridger was 15 cents on the train. Told me where to take the train, 4th Avenue Station. He says, you go out and tell him that I sent you. And I went out. Now there's something in between too. I don't know whether that would interest you or not. Well, to give you a little instance, you know. I went out there on Friday morning. I went out. I told the boss, this was like on a Wednesday, you see, and the next day I told the boss in the pickle factory, you know, I told him that I can't come tomorrow to work.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't tell him what it was, what form, and I told him that I will not come, I can't come. He didn't care. You know, he says, probably the way I can understand now, I wasn't too handy to do
yeah.
work. So anyway, I went out to Bridgeville and I walked in the store. And here I saw there was a boy standing there, you know, a young fellow. I said, are you Mr. Gleick? Yes, I says, is Mr. Gleick from Logan Street, your uncle? Yes, I says, it must be a mistake. I says, he told me that you needed a boy. I said, but I see you have one. Yes, he says, I have one. I have a boy. I said, it must have been a mistake. Now, I had talked to him for a little bit and I walked down. I walked around in town for a little. I asked him how long before I get another train back to Pittsburgh. Then he told me what time, so I walked down to the station. It wasn't too far from the station. The railroad was right down a little hill, like, you see. And I stayed there at the station, and here Mr. Gleick came. He came down, yeah, where are you from? I told him. And as it happened, he lived in a town right close to our Bishabella, you know. He was where the train used to come, Bishabella they called it. Well, he started to talk to me. He says to me, I'll make it as short as I possibly can. He says, do you think you'd be able to teach my children Hebrew? Well, I says, as far as that's concerned, I ought to be able. I says, just come from the yeshiva. I told him what I was doing in Europe, but I says, why do you ask? I says, I see you have a boy. And I says, you know, we don't do it. Europe, there's a word for it in Hebrew, masigulza, to take away somebody's
job.
Job in Europe, that was one of the worst things, you know what I mean? I says, I wouldn't do it. No, he says, you wouldn't take away his job. You see, my uncle told you, he says, I wanted him to put an ad in the paper, he says, because I'm going to let him go whether you take the job or not.
Mm-hmm.
What is the reason, Mr. Glick? He says, I don't like the way he teaches my children Hebrew. What was it? This is the interesting part. In my time, when I was in Europe, and in his time, Hebrew had no grammar. We learned Hebrew without any grammar. There wasn't a shin, there wasn't a soft, there wasn't a samach, if you know what I mean.
Yes, certainly.
He says, no grammar, whatever. That boy that he had, he came later to this country. He already went to a Hebrew school in Europe. In his time, they already had opened Hebrew schools there, and naturally it taught them with grammar.
Mm-hmm.
To my boss, that sounded more like German Hebrew.
Oh.
The grammar didn't sound good.
He was an old-timer.
He was an old-timer,
yeah.
And didn't. And that's why he says he didn't care for that Hebrew. And that's the reason he left him go. He left to leave him go, and that was my life. Because.
Well, what was the work that you were supposed to do?
I was teaching, 1 hour there, I was teaching the children Hebrew, and then the rest of the time I worked in the store. I got up in the morning, swept the
what
store.
What kind of store was it?
A clothing store, men's shop, men's clothing. And
did you go into the men's clothing business?
And that I went into the men's clothing business after, but I mean, this here job, this here is something.
Yes.
So he says, all right, he says, I'll let go. I says, all right, if that's the case, then it's all right. He says, I'll tell you what you do. You meet me on Saturday night, come up to Gleek, to his uncle here. He says, you come up, he says, and we'll talk it over. And he assured me there's a job right there.
All right, tell me this, Mr. Cohn. If you had a choice, would you have gone into the men's clothing business? Or would you rather have done something else?
No.
Looking back on it.
Oh, looking back, oh yeah, that was why I didn't know. I had no idea of anything else. There was no other thing in existence.
Okay. What kind of schooling did you have when you came to Pittsburgh?
Well, European schooling, you mean?
No, in Pittsburgh.
Oh, in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
Oh, yes. While I was in Bridgeville for, just a few weeks, I used to come what they call Fulton Street School. They had a school, a public school, where all the greenies used to come in the evening. They were teaching them.
Yes. How long did you go to this evening school?
Oh, about 2-3 weeks, you know. The boss would give me off, you know, Greek, they would give me off an hour in the evening. I had to come to Pittsburgh, you know.
Yeah.
And in those days, if you worked in a store, there was no opening and closing hours.
Right.
You opened up 7 o'clock in the morning, then you went to bed, and that was
when the last customer was gone.
That's right.
Did you have any other school besides these 2 or 3 weeks?
Yes, for another week we opened up, me and a couple of other Christian fellows opened up a school in Bridgeville, you know, and we got a teacher, a fellow that was teaching us, but that only lasted a week, I know.
Did she teach you to write English?
Oh, I could read mostly, not write, read.
Mm-hmm. And that's where you learned to speak English, too.
That's right.
You didn't have any kind of Jewish education after you got to this country.
No, not after I got here.
Did you ever go to concerts or operas, or did you play musical instruments? Did you do anything with music in those years? Did you ever go to the Yiddish theater?
Oh, yes. Yes, we used to go. Every once in a while they would bring a Yiddish show here on Center Avenue, they would come up there. And I remember we used to come. We used to go, not very often though, very seldom.
Did you ever go to any other kind of theater?
Oh, yeah. A vaudeville. That was, that was,
Did you ever attend any lectures?
Well, I remember, yes, one time we went, the YMHA opened at that time. But that was later, that was in later years, you know. Not in the beginning, in that time.
Did you ever go to the public libraries?
Excuse me. That I used to. Yeah, I liked to. I used to like to go to a public library when I was in.
Which library did you go to?
Carnegie Library there.
Which one? The one in Oakland here?
In Oakland. Lorna Buchan is the name in Hebrew. It's the road to perplexed.
Guide to the perplexed. In English, did you?
In English.
What, did you read Pittsburgh newspapers?
In Bridgeville, they used to get me Pittsburgh.
Which, do you remember which newspapers?
No, I don't.
When you came to the United States, did you think of yourself as a religious person?
No, I was not. You might as well call it non-believer. After going to the yeshiva, you know what a yeshiva is?
I certainly do.
Religious, you know, but still, and that's the reason why I didn't want to become a rabbi.
Yes. Then you didn't change your religious practices. You dropped them immediately.
Oh, you mean after I came here?
After you came here.
That's right. In fact, I dropped them before I came.
Did you go to synagogue in Pittsburgh?
Lost
did you go to synagogue?
That time?
In Pittsburgh.
On the holiday. Yeah, we used to go to see Landslide, if you know what that means.
Yes. What synagogue did you go to?
It used to be up on the hill there, Shire Parish.
What was the shul like?
Orthodox shul, if that's what you
got. A big one?
Big shul, yeah.
Did you have any religious observances in your home?
In this country?
Yeah.
In the Bar Mitzvah, you know, we joined Shul Beis Sholem.
Yes.
He joined and he went to Cheder there to prepare him to Bar Mitzvah.
Did you have any trouble with your health when you came to this country? Did you ever go for medical help anywhere?
No.
Did you belong to any organizations when you first came to this country?
No, I'm ashamed to say no.
Okay. Did you belong to any organization? Was there any way that you gave charity in those days? Did you belong to any charitable organizations?
There was none. No, there was no charitable organizations anyway, you know. I worked in very little. I was in town altogether.
Yes. The next part is about entertainment. Where did you go to have a good time? Now, this is in those first years, the first 5 or 6 years. Were you ever interested in sports?
No.
Okay. Did you know about the YMCA?
Used to hear about it, yeah, but I wasn't interested. I didn't care what it was.
Yeah,
you know.
But the point is, were there any non-Jewish organizations that did anything for the immigrant that you...
No.
Were there any places that were like meeting places for you and your friends?
Family, in the family house.
Well, how did you meet people during those first years? Did you make any new friends?
The first 5 years?
Yes.
Oh, yes, we used to. Now, there, you see, like I said, a whole week, of course, there was no hours, you know what I mean?
Yes.
But Sunday we had off.
Yes.
So Sunday we used to come into town, and...
You mean into Pittsburgh?
Pittsburgh, yeah. And my brother lived up, he lived in Cleve Street, he lived in Lyon Street. Well, after he got married, my mother used to come to get a bunch of boys and girls. That's where I met my wife.
Mm-hmm.
We started to take dancing lessons.
Did you make friends with any non-Jews at that time?
In Bleachville, yes. In the store.
Did any of these people stay your friends through the years?
No, because, you see, we left Bleachville and then we moved to another place, and I don't even remember if I've ever seen them again.
Mm-hmm. You had family here. You had brothers and cousins.
Brothers, cousins.
Were you friendly with them? Did you do things with them?
Oh, yeah.
Who did you celebrate the Seder with?
You mean in those days?
Yes, in those early years.
Well, I was working, you know what I mean? Frankly, no. In Bridgeville, when I was in Bridgeville, of course, they had a Seder, you know. I was with them.
Mm-hmm.
But when I went for myself, I didn't have a Seder.
During those first 5 years, did you maintain your contact with your family in Europe?
No. I'll tell you why. We came in 1912.
Yes.
The war broke out in 1914,
mm-hmm.
and everything just seemed to fell apart. When she came back, you see, they were driven out from their homes during the war.
Mm-hmm.
So they lived close to the German border, all the Jewish people. They drove them in deep in Russia.
Mm-hmm.
You probably heard about it.
Sure.
And then that's when my father died. Deep in Russia, you know, then mother, she came back to my wife's hometown. You see,
mm-hmm.
her hometown was not far from ours. So she came back and she stayed with her in my wife's hometown.
Mm-hmm. And you brought your mother over?
Oh, yes.
In what year?
1921.
Did you send her mother her money during those years?
Oh, yes.
All along?
All along.
Did you get your American citizenship?
Yeah.
How did that come about?
The citizenship?
Yeah.
Well, we knew we had to become, like a fellow says, I like this country.
Mm-hmm.
But we adopted it, you know what
yes.
I mean? And the best way is to become a citizen. So,
and so there was no problem about getting your citizenship?
No problem at all. You know, the judge asked me if I wanted to change my name.
Mm-hmm. What year did you first vote? Do you remember?
17, I was a Democrat. I was a Democrat right from the start.
Any reason?
No, I can't give you a reason right now, no. All I know is that I always was, right from the start, a registered Democrat.
Were you active politically at all? Were you active? I would ask a little bit about your family life. You met your wife at your brother's house.
That's right.
How did he meet her?
Wait a minute. No. I met my wife. My sister-in-law, who was a cousin of mine,
mm-hmm.
she came over from the old country after I did. I came in July, and she came in December of the same year. Well, she stayed with an aunt of my wife's. That's where she stayed in Ward.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when my wife came there, too, and I came to see my sister-in-law, who was a cousin of mine, as
mm-hmm.
I said, and that's where I met her.
Well, I see. How old were you when you got married?
24.
And how old was your wife?
21.
When, what was your marriage date?
We were married on June the 10th.
What year?
1917.
You were married in this country. How long had you known your wife before you married her?
Well, it was practically You see, we used to often, on, as I said, she would come to Pittsburgh and stay in Pittsburgh for a while, and then she would go back to Cleveland. I would say 2 or 3 years.
This is a funny question. This marriage was not arranged by anybody.
No.
Do you think if you had stayed in Europe that a marriage would have been arranged for you?
Oh, yes. That was the style in Europe, too. Sure, they already tried to marry me off there.
Your wife from the same country?
Yeah. Very close. You're leaving two separate towns, you know what I mean? But too close together.
Did you feel good about marrying somebody from the same country? Would you have wanted that if you had, you know, had a choice?
Never gave it a thought. I married a girl that I like.
Did anybody in your family or any of your friends marry non-Jews? Yes. Well, I'm talking about in that group that you were in.
In those days, no. No, I didn't know.
How would you have felt about it in those days?
Well, worse than you do today. Let's put it that way, you know.
It says many young couples today have trouble getting along with each other. What were your problems of adjustment during the first years of your marriage? In terms of your both being immigrants, were there any adjustment problems that you think were specifically the problems of...
Well, let's put it this way. We were practically both raised in the same environment. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So there was no trouble then.
Mm-hmm.
Like if I'd have married an American girl, she's an American born girl,
yes,
it would have been already two different environments.
Yes.
So we were both the same, raised under the same condition, both Orthodox parents,
mm-hmm,
you know, and now from the same, like the same part of the country, you know.
Yes.
So naturally there was no problem there, there was no adjustment there, let's put it
mm-hmm
that way.
Who made the important decisions in your home?
I think both together.
You see, the question really has this implication. In Europe, was it different from the way it would have been in Europe? In what way was it different?
Well, the husband was more the boss in Europe. You know, in general,
mm-hmm,
but there was also exceptions, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Now, you take in our own home, you know, my mother was more the boss in the house than my father was.
Mm-hmm.
She was younger, much younger than he was, and so that was different.
Mm-hmm. What kind of schooling did your children receive? They went to public school?
They went to public school. Well, in Belmont.
They all finished high school?
Oh, yes. One of them there. I've always done. He graduated here from Pete. And we lost him in the war.
Oh.
And he was engaged and we lost him. He was killed in Italy.
How about the other children? Did they go to college?
No, the youngest boy, he just graduated from high school, but our daughter went to, she graduated from high school and then she went to Cleveland to Spencerian College. You know, that's a, Spencerian is just like Morris.
Yes, Robert Morris.
Robert Morris School.
Mm-hmm.
She graduated from it.
Was there any difference between the way you were raised and the way you raised your children?
Entirely different. It was entirely different. Here's what happened. Oh, together. And now you're no doubt you want to know what way.
Yes.
We were raised in a strict religious atmosphere. You understand? We had to do everything had to be according to religion. And I might add, sure, it's good. It's very good.
You understand?
Mm-hmm. But our children were not raised. They were born
with more freedom.
Freedom, that's it.
Beautiful.
And I don't say it's good.
Mm-hmm.
Our youngest boy met an Italian girl. She's a lovely girl. She's real nice. She's very good to us. We learn to like her. And she watches more Jewish tradition, you know what I mean?
Yes.
Than some born Jewish.
Yes.
Well, I think, for instance, her children, you know what I mean? She watches more. They should go to school, go to Hebrew school.
And learn to be Jewish.
And learn to be Jewish.
Yes.
And we lead to our son, to him.
Yes.
And today, too. Her girlfriend, they live here on Phillips. She has a bunch of girlfriends there, you know, all Jewish girlfriends. She tells us every one of them buys their meat in the supermarket. She says, I can't.
She buys kosher meat?
She buys kosher meat.
That's remarkable.
No, that's just the way it is, yeah.
Well, do you remember having any problems in raising your children that you feel were due to the fact that you were an immigrant?
We often talk that over, I'm telling you. You know, we had no trouble, our children. We enjoyed our children very much. They were good children. They listened, they obeyed. But our children's children, they don't listen to them. Mm.
Do you think the kids were ever ashamed of the fact that you spoke with an accent, or that you weren't born in this country?
If they were, they never showed it.
Mm.
They never showed it. Because they have too much today, too. Our children respect us very much.
Mm-hmm.
We have two left, just the son and the daughter, you know, but the oldest one, too. They have the greatest respect and admiration for us. At least that's the way we felt.
Well, I'm sure that this is something kids can't hide. You know, if they feel
that's
it, they
right.
show it. All right, I have one last question. I hope you don't mind. How old are you?
Well, I was born in 1893, figure out,
okay.
75 years, March the 3rd, 1893.